What's up, guys? We are back with another episode of Pound for Pound. I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
A Shot of Lime production.
Guys, on today's episode, we're going to be breaking down UFC 305. Israel Adesanya taking on Dricus du Plessis. But before we get into that, Henry, last week we missed you, man. You know, yeah, you've been, you know, roaming around town over there in Paris, gallivanting, getting in all kinds of shenanigans. My man, I'm just going to ask you, if you don't have no cool stories to tell me, I feel like you wasted time out there in Paris. So tell me, what did you do out in Paris and who did you see that you haven't seen before?
Comment allez-vous? Parlez-vous français?
Oui. Yeah, you weren't expecting that. Oui, oui. You weren't expecting that, huh? I know a little something. You weren't expecting me, you know, a little that.
Nah, cush.
Francais.
Yeah, I tell you what, bro. Like, I was able to watch the David Teller interview that you guys did. First of all, man, that interview was awesome. But that interview, or David Teller, better yet, was way off, dude. You guys are talking about
before you even get into that, my man. You were the guy who was supposed to ensure that happened. I feel like that's the whole reason you went to Paris.
Shit, I went as a spectator, bro. I wish I was a dad.
You were supposed to be there to ensure that everybody came home with gold. That's why, you know, they sent Triple C because he loves gold. So he went out there to make sure Team USA came back with nothing but gold. What happened, Henry? That's what I'm going to ask you. What happened?
Yeah, man. Well, they're probably on the same losing streak as me because they ain't get anything. And you know what's crazy about it, Kamaru, is Russia wasn't there. So yeah, when you get the most dominant country in wrestling history, period, that's not there, you're starting to think that it's going to go back to the 1984 Olympics where we had, you know, 6 Olympic gold medalists that year, not including women, because women's wrestling at that time did not exist. But, you know, for 57 kilos, I mean, I felt like Spencer Lee worked his butt off. He, he ended up receiving the silver medal. Even in that match, Kamaru, I just didn't feel like Lee was him. I needed to see more leg attacks and things of that nature, and he just didn't pop off, man. 265 kilos with Zane, that's one of the biggest weight classes that we've struggled with. And the last person to win a world championship out of 65 kilos has been Bill Zadek. This was back in 2006, man. We're talking close to about 20 years ago, you know, to 74 kilos. Kyle Dake, you know, going, you know, losing in the semis, not adjusting against the Japanese. I mean, the Japanese was able to really kind of build the lead on Kyle, where Kyle just didn't have an answer. We go back to 84 kilos with with the young buck, the guy who beat David Taylor, the guy who was favored to win the Olympic gold, and gets turned in the last, you know, 3 seconds of the match, and then all the way to Kyle Snyder, where Kyle Snyder I just don't know where Kyle Snyder head is at, but he just didn't perform. And then obviously heavyweight, we got put out one and out. So what I'm trying to say, Kamaru Usman, I went there excited. I went out there like you and David Teller. We're about to claim go. We're about to, you know, do it the Triple C, the Nigerian Nightmare route. And we got absolutely
I blame you. Zero. I'm sorry. I blame you, Henry. Because, I felt
a lot of pressure.
I know,
coach.
But I felt like you being there would have given them a little extra oomph. You know, because not only do they have a former Olympic champion, but they got the superstar Triple C there, 2-division world champion, to really help chair them and root them on. And at least, if anything, share some of that knowledge with them. And so, but the question here is obviously, like you mentioned, Henry, we did that interview with David Taylor last week. So if you haven't seen that, guys, make sure that you go to our YouTube channel, Pound for Pound, and you go and watch that interview with David Taylor, defending Olympic champion, defending world champion, and didn't make the team. And Aaron Brooks, I believe, got bronze.
Yep.
So here's my question. Aaron Brooks, I think, is able to beat David Taylor because obviously they're in the same room. Aaron Brooks has been able to feel David Taylor all throughout his career. Now, send David Taylor to the Olympics. Do you think he comes back bronze, or do you think that's possibly one of our shoe-in for a gold medal.
No, I think David Tucker goes to the Olympics. I think he wins gold. And watching a little bit of your interview too, Kamaru, with him, you know, he's still grieving. You know, as a fighter, you know what it's like, man, losing a world title, whatever. And I feel like there's still a competitor in there. I think he's so young to coach. I think coaching will always be there. But I think David Taylor could be somebody special to be able to coach at a high level and also wrestle at a high level. So do I believe that he's officially done, especially with LA 2028? Yeah, he's making great money at Oklahoma State, but David Taylor still has it. And if I was to build an all-star team, I would bring Jordan Burroughs back, and I would bring David Taylor back. And those are the two guys that I would bring to secure that we bring in gold for the United States of America.
You're right, Henry. I think David Taylor beats everybody else around the world. But when you have a guy that studies you, a guy that trains with you each and every day, they know your pace. They know your attacks. They know how to kind of shut those down and potentially, you know, pull one out at the last minute to potentially take that match away from you. So I'm not saying necessarily that's what it did here, because all credits to Aaron Brooks. I mean, you know, straight out of college, an Olympic bronze medalist. I mean, this kid is the real deal. He really is that good. But I do believe styles make matches here. And hey, I think David Taylor puts up points against everybody else in the world. It's just, unfortunately, not being able to get out of the country is has its, which, you know, they should do kind of like NAIA, I believe. Well, when I was wrestling, and this was over a decade and a half ago, I believe they were able to take 12 to nationals in college. So it was 10 and then 2 extra to score points. Can you imagine if they allow that at the Olympics? They say you bring all the 6 weight class, but then you get 2 extras to rack up points here. I mean, who would be your 2 extras that you're bringing? I know my 2.
Oh, yeah? Who you got?
Of course, I got David Taylor, and I'm bringing in JB. I think these are the guys that can run up the scoreboards. These are guys that are high action, that will score a lot of points. And I think these are the guys that will potentially get us those, you know, that title.
Yeah, but I said it first, so.
No, you
so
did. That was hey, mine. Hey. Hey, it was already in my mind. It was already in my mind. So you stole it from my mind, bro.
No, but anyhow, bro, to switch it up, dude, I have a crazy-ass story for you, man. Guess who was at the Olympics and was trying to fight the Triple C?
At the Olympics? Who was trying to fight you? Let me see. Olympics. Was he a fighter? Give me a hint. Is he a professional fighter?
Yes, he's Olympics. He's a fighter. And you have fought before. And I'll leave it at that.
A fighter that I have fought before, it couldn't be Colby Covington.
No.
Leon Edwards.
Dude, you're horrible. And he's a former wrestler.
And I fought him before?
Yep. Hmm.
I'm guessing Tyron Woodley?
No.
Who?
And he was your last fight.
Khamzat Chimaev? Wait, how random. Wait, and why was he trying to fight you?
Oh, fuck it. I don't know. Dude, I think these dudes take shit so personable, dude. Like, I don't know, man. I think, you know, obviously me cheering for you, me cheering for Bohashinya, me kind of telling the truth a little bit. Because I believe, as an analyst, you know, people get a little, you know, you have to tell the truth. And I think that's my biggest, you know, that's what I am comical and whatnot. But typically when I do say certain things is because I mean it. So that's why I think. But I was here. I was at the ticket line. I'm sorry, he was at the ticket line. I was outside trying to get my damn tickets because everything was sold out. I don't even think he could get in either. And then he sees me. He's like, Henry Cejudo, you're a rat piece of shit. And then I'm just like, and I kind of had a feeling this dude kind of had it because he's blocking from a lot of the social media stuff. Oh. And I'm just like, why? Why am I a piece of shit? And he just said, I'm just a piece of shit. Like, this is probably like 50 feet away, like from each other. He's like with his, you know, his Dagestani.
Was he by himself?
No, he was with like 6 dudes, and it was just me outside with freaking Captain Eric with his sparkly shirts and pants and shit. anyways, I just left it. I don't think I saw him.
So yeah, well, no smoke. Yeah, I was just like, hey, no.
I was just like, dude, there's too many of you guys, man. There's just too many of you guys. But that wouldn't be the place to fight me, dude.
Hey, what if it
Do
was?
Do you have
what
any
if it
idea
was,
how many people are?
What if it was 2-on-2?
You know, you gave me an AR-15, bro. It's even. It's all.
Ah, that's crazy. No, you are right though. Yes, of course. People kind of get, especially like I said, Henry. I said before, when you're in the thick of it, all you could kind of comprehend is that time and what you're feeling. And like us, we're all artists, and we all are sensitive about the things that we do and how we do it. And so when someone maybe critiques us, you know, a lot of people take that personal. And I know I did when I was coming up before I became champion. I did take it personal. But obviously, once I became champion, I got to the top. I realized, listen, people are going to be unhappy whether you're praising them or whether you give them a little bit of criticism. Doesn't matter. It is what it is. You take it with the grain of salt. If there's some truth to it, you try to correct it and you move on.
Yeah, yeah. But can I tell you those two sometimes, Kamaru? This is where. You know, I hope I had an influence on a lot of you guys, a lot of my friends, because you know, people that really know me is like, dude, this shoe's just plain. I'm just a competitor that likes to fuck around and do my thing and
You're
clown.
You're a troll.
Yeah, I'm a troll, 100%. Yeah. But I'm also, to the level of trolling that I do, I'm a level of extreme even more so as a competitor. Something like this could really hurt Hamzat in the sense of him being truly emotional. Because how many fights has he pulled out? And how many fans and trolls do you think are trolling him? And how upset could you get? And the last thing you want to do is actually fight emotional. And, dude, I was a big – I was hyped on Hamza. So I started to kind of seeing, you know, him going up against Gilbert Burns and him going up against you and him starting to see, like, hey, maybe he's not that boogeyman that I once thought once he got in the situation with some of the best guys because he was untouched. He was unhit. But then once you start seeing that, you're like, hey, man, you know, once you get to those top 10s, that top 5, that top 2, then we know how truly and how good you actually really are. Because other than that, man, like a lot of it, even going back to Bo Nichols, right now it's all hype, dude. Like you have to, do I believe he could do it 100%? But I also did believe that on Hamzat too. But, you know, the realization is when you listen to a lot of people, whether I'm telling the truth or I'm hating, you should not allow that shit to get to you because if it gets to you, it's going to get to your performance. You're going to fight emotional.
No, I think you're absolutely right. For someone like him, there's a lot that comes with just to being who he is. And there's a lot of expectations for a guy like that, that, like you mentioned, has been given all this hype, all this clout. So there's a lot being expected of you, not just from your countrymen, not just from you know, from your peers, not just from your bosses, but from everywhere, even the fans. And so, yes, that could add a lot of added pressure when fans are tweeting you or messaging you all the time. And then if you, because he's kind of a troll too. He does. He'll post pictures and he'll post things and he'll comment, he'll say some things. But this is, and that's not a diss or anything. But if you're so in tune with social media, so that means he's seen a lot of this. And yes, it could kind of hurt. It could kind of fluctuate how he feels and the mood. So if you say something about it, chances are he saw it. And but where you are right is you can't be as emotional about it to where you potentially see someone on the street. You're like, you're a piece of shit, or they want to, you know, they want to do something to you. That is at that point, I think is something that he can work on. And you just put to the side because, yes, of course, he has a lot of hype. But up to this point, he's backed it all up. You know, he's been able to go in there and stay undefeated. Yes, of course, he's pulled out of a few fights, been sick quite a few times, but he's been able to go in there and back it up. And until that has changed, we have to still give him that level of respect. So, you know, I do hope he gets it together because, like, you're 100% right, Henry. You can't step in that octagon unfocused and emotional. Because
yeah, but talking about 100%, but talking about beef and talking about trolling, what's up with you and Bilal Muhammad, man? What's up with you guys trolling each other, talking about, you know, he doesn't know how to hold the bell from Kamaru Usman?
You're talking about the, oh.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about you and Bilal beef and what? You think I'm going to just sit here
I forgot
and let
the
me
name.
Tell you about my Oh, you forgot the name. Oh, yeah, I forgot the name.
But no, I see it on the. No, it was. I definitely forgot the name. No, it was just a little friendly here back and forth. But this is what I'm saying. This is what I wasn't trying to be mean in any way. I was just like, come on, man. Like Henry, did someone have to teach you how to hold your belt? You know, like you know, when you become a champ, when you say you're the best in the world, you're a champion, you've held that belt a million times in your mind. You've held that thing. And so someone's like showing you how to hold the belt. You're kind of doing it like this. I don't know what to do with my hands. You're kind of, you know, doing all that. It's like, come on. So all I said was like, man, Islam is a good man. You know, Islam had to, you know, show you how to hold that thing. He's a good man for that. No disrespectfully. Islam's a good man. And he took it personal, I guess. And he chirped back. And so, you know, it's kind of friendly, go a little back and forth. But make no mistake, my man, you're kind of a not so good version of myself. You're kind of a not so, everything he does, I do better. He's like, oh, I did what you couldn't do. I beat Bilal. I forgot his name already. He said, I did what you couldn't do. I beat Leon Edwards. I have a win over Leon Edwards. And in the second fight, I dominated Leon Edwards until lightning hit struck and he landed the kick. So and that's what I think, you know, becoming a new champion, that goes to your head. It's like having your first beer. And it's like, all of a sudden now you're talking reckless to everybody. Like, you this dude, you know. So, and then he said, oh, your podcast sucks, which means you watch pound for pound. Man.
Oh, he really? Watched. He said that.
He said that, which means you watch. My man, you watch.
Wow, you and then really. Hold on. Let me read it.
Yeah,
dominated
read that.
Dominated the division. You beat Masvidal twice and went cardio kickboxing with Kobe Covington. Kobe sucks. You're protected by the UFC. Now you can barely walk. Your podcast sucks. Wow, Bilal, you're really going to offend me too, man? And your park and your Black Panther movie sucked. Damn, he's hitting you from every angle, Kush.
He's trying. But this is the thing. You say my podcast sucks, which means you listen and you watch. Okay? And then he said the part in the movie sucks. It means you watch me in a movie. You paid money to go to the theater to watch it in a movie. It is what it is. If that is my next fight, then of course I'm going to have to go in there and do what I do. But at the same time, you know, when you become champion, you feel invincible and you just start running your mouth off to the rest of the world, just like Leon Edwards did. So it is what it is. You know, I will put that to rest. If they do, the UFC says, yep, that's the next fight, then I'll go in there and take back my belt. But if they don't, it is what it is. I'll be a little bit more patient and I'll go in there. When it's my time, I'll go take care of business. But Henry, he watches and he listens. And that's what's important. Moving on, you know, it's UFC 305 taking place this weekend live from Perth, Australia.
All right, Kamaru, let's give a shout out to our partners at Underdog Fantasy Sports, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Their pick'em game is simple as choosing higher or lower on a variety of fighter stats like significant strikes, knockouts, takedowns, and fight time.
And you know, my man, I feel good about this week as I did last week, you know, because I definitely did do my thing last week. Henry, you ain't really come through for the people. Here are Underdog picks for UFC 305, Adesanya versus Duplessis. And as always, all new users who sign up with code P4P, that's pound for pound, will receive up to $250 in bonus cash. And a pick'em special.
Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Arizona, Florida, and Texas. Support the show and click the link below in the description to get started. Thank you to Underdog Fantasy for supporting the show. And now, let's break these fight downs in more detail.
All right, UFC 305. We're going to start with the first fight on that main card. We got Ling Jigaling taking on Carlos Prates.
I like that. Jigaling. Hey. I like that.
Pause. Big pause. Like come that. On. Come on.
You starting to take my title for the king of cringe cuz.
Nah, you got the cup at your house for that. But we got Lee Jiggling taking on Carlos Prates. Big pause. But this is a good I haven't seen Ling in a while. I haven't seen him. But he's you know, he can fight. I believe he got a win in his last fight. He looked good. He started to kind of understand distance a lot better. He was using that range really, really well. And when he starts to flow and he starts to kind of put a combination together, he does well. I believe, what was that? A split decision. Yeah, a split decision loss. But and he fought Daniel Rodriguez. But I think he was having some success in that fight. But you know, he's got a pretty decent resume. He's got a win over Muslim Salikov. I like this fight. And Carlos Prates, I believe I'm saying it right, but I don't know too much about him. Obviously, I've seen him fight, but I don't know the backstory. I don't know. I know about his grappling. And when I say grappling, I mean, Henry, I mean the wrestling and the jiu-jitsu combined. I know I know there's jiu-jitsu from his back, and he's got excellent Muay Thai. I believe he fights out of a southpaw stance. He's really, really long. He's got good uppercuts, good knees.
Well, let me tell you something about this dude. Carlos is on a fight. I mean, he is his last fights. He stopped everybody. I mean, you're talking about TKO. This dude's got amazing striking. I mean, he's freaking 6'1" for crying out loud, and the dude uses every lunge. The dude uses every limb in his damn body, from elbows to knees, and occasionally he'll shoot in and start looking for his grappling. He's dangerous in the sense where he's a showman, and he's a showman. He likes to talk. He'll talk to you. He'll get rid of you. He's got infamous walkouts that he's done. I mean, if you watch one of his last fights in the UFC, I mean, the dude's throwing knees off the open, and that's the shit that makes him dangerous. And to me, it's a setup against Jiggling, because this guy's up and coming, and I think the UFC doesn't want to push him. So for that reason, I got to go with the Brazilian sensation.
You said he's got crazy walkouts. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, you didn't think that was a crazy walkout?
Walkout? What do you mean? A walkout is when you walk to the octagon, Henry.
He dances. You never seen him?
No, I've never seen him. Does he?
You know, the Brazilians love to freaking, love to shake, you know? Love to shake it on stage, man.
Yeah, but what is this? Is this a trend now that everybody does? No, these little dances when they're doing this stuff and all this? And I'm like, is that a trend that I'm not seeing, that little TikTok trend? Because even the girls do it when they win. You see that?
Yeah.
When the girls do this thing and they do that little, you know how you like the celebrations anyways.
I meant to say walk off, right? Walk off knee, is that what it's called?
Walk, okay, so, yeah, but you.
I said walk out on.
Yeah, you said walk out. Yeah, Henry, you said walk out. What you meant to say is his walk off knockouts, which means it's one shot, boom.
That's twice. That's two times where he just knows that. He wants to be talking to Dana. I mean, he's doing the whole nine. I mean, this dude's a showman. And guys that are showmen, that means they're confident and they're dangerous too. And people don't talk about that shit enough.
I agree. And I think this is a fantastic fight to be able to test that, because Lee Jiggling is not necessarily going to initiate that wrestling and that grappling. And if he doesn't, with a guy like Carlos that is very, very good to control the distance here and kind of line you up for those elbows, or line you up for a knee, or line you up for that straight left hand, it could be very, very dangerous. So I think this is a good fight to start that main card and kind of set that stage on fire over there, set that arena on fire over there in Perth. But if I have to pick, I'm going to go with the experience of Lee Jiggling. I'm going to go with that. Yeah, I'm going to go with the experience.
So you think,
I think he's taking some time off, and I think he's kind of, maybe he has some little nagging injury. So I'm going to go with the experience of him.
Yeah. So you think Lee will put his Jiggling on Carlos Prates? Is that what you're telling me?
Pause. Big pause. But yes, I think Lee's gonna pull this one out.
All right, let's move on.
All right. Next fight, we got Ty Bam Bam Tuivasa taking on Jairzinho Rozenstruik. This is a fantastic fight. Both guys with big power. Both guys, stand-up guys. They don't necessarily like to grapple. I'm just going to call this one. I just think Jairzinho Rozenstruik is a more seasoned kickboxer. Even though Tuivasa, when he gets in his flow and when he gets his rhythm going, he's very dangerous. He can hit you with big power. I just think Jairzinho Rozenstruik, that kickboxing background, he's very, very good at countering strikes, very good at keeping his balance. And he's got big power too. Let's not forget that. So with that being said, I'm off the top. I'm going with Jairzinho Rozenstruik, even though I do like Tuivasa.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna have to disagree with you. I do believe Tai Tuivasa has so many tools in his arsenal. Mm-hmm. The simple fact that he loves fighting in his backyard. I mean, he's gonna be fighting in a place like Perth, Australia. I mean, it's pretty much his hometown, and this guy likes to perform. And I believe that, it's particularly for heavyweights, when these guys fight and they throw the kitchen sink. I mean, even though he is on a four fight losing streak. Like, I do believe that he's going to have to come through. And he knows that he's going to have to take risks. And I think at the heavyweight division, because he is going to throw it all out there, that he is going to become victorious.
Yeah. Okay. But real quick, what in his arsenal does Jairzinho Rozenstruik not have, or even better?
Man, the only thing that I could say, Kush, is he's been knocked down the pants from your boy, you know, Francis Ngannou. He's been put out by people. And I think Tai has been stopped, but he's never really been put out like that. So I think for that reason, I got to go with Tai Tuivasa.
I like your pick. I like it. You know, it is what it is. You know, we'll see. Because you know what I did to you last week with the underdog fantasy pick. So, you know, it is what it is. We're going to move on. We don't want to bring up old stuff. Next fight, we got Matheus Gamrot taking on Dan Hooker. This is an excellent fight. It's a fantastic fight in that lightweight division. I Dan Hooker, it's crazy because Dan Hooker is just one of those guys that you can never really count out in a way, because he somehow finds a way to catch something, and you would think that he's kind of at a disadvantage, where this is a clear-cut striker versus wrestler, grappler. This is a clear-cut of that. And Matheus Gamrot right now, I believe, is one of the most relentless grapplers in that lightweight division. I mean, this guy, if he has to take 15 shots, he's going to take 15 shots to try to get you down or to try to disrupt your game. And that's what he does so well. And that's what I think has definitely, you know, propelled him to up here. And he's just kind of lurking around that top six, waiting for his opportunity at that title shot. So it's a good fight for both guys. But if I had to pick on this one, I'm going to go with Gamrot.
Yeah, Gamrot. And particularly Gamrot, he's a gamer. If you watch that fight, I mean, he has a win over the number one contender and Sarukian. I mean, the dude could grapple, the dude could strike, but he's able to mix it. He's an exciting fighter that's just impressive, man. I just feel like, you know, I know you call him Dan the Hangman Hooker, but I like to call him Dan the Cheap Hooker. You know, I just don't think he's... I just don't think he's well-rounded, man. I feel like he comes from a great striking school. But other than that, I mean, Islam was able to show that I'm going to take you down. I'm going to take your arm with me. You know, he's accused of people of taking all kinds of things. It's just, there's just a strength difference. And I do believe that stylistically, because of that strength difference in this fight and tactical, and the fact that Gamrot is more well-rounded, I either got him by submission or decision, but either way, I pick him high, so I'm going for Matheus Gamrot for whatever the hell he wants to do to the Cheap Hooker.
I think this is probably why people run up on you, dog.
And he might, but at least he's closer to my weight. I'll fight him.
Hey.
Now with Hamza.
Yo, wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, moving on to the next fight. Man, we're going to get to our co-main event of the evening. You've got Kai Kara-Frontza taking on Steve Irsay. Irsay, just a title challenger for that flyweight strap. He came up short, And Kai Kara-France is kind of a guy that's kind of been lurking around there, was supposed to get that opportunity to fight for. I don't remember him fighting. Oh, did he fight for the title? I think he did fight for the title. Didn't he fight Brandon Moreno for the title?
It was an interim title, but yes.
The interim. Okay, so he did fight Brandon Moreno. And he's just kind of one of those guys that is kind of lurking around, and he's looking for an opportunity to potentially get there, because he's a guy that has that exciting style. He likes to strike. He likes to hit you with big power, and he could potentially put you out. He's another one of those flyweights that can put you out. So I think this is a fantastic matchup that the UFC put together. Steve Ursa taking on Kai Kara-France. Man, I like it. I like both guys. I'm going to lean towards Steve Ursa. Because I think they both, the way that I saw Kai Kara-France get beat by Brandon Moreno, I just felt like over time, he couldn't deal with the movement of Moreno. He couldn't deal with the fact that he was trying to land things, but Moreno stayed in there, stayed in front of him. He was throwing big power, and he seemed like he just kind of ran out of gas until I believe Moreno might have connected with, if I remember correctly in that fight, landed a body kick that kind of started to hurt him, and eventually he got him out of there. But don't quote me on that. My memory's a little shot. But I'm going to go with Steve Ursa to bounce back here just for the sheer fact that I think he's very solid, and he just they both have great striking, very sharp striking. But I think this fight is closely contested, but I'm going to lean towards Steve Ursa. Especially Steve Ursa is an Australian at home, so I'm going to lean towards him.
Yeah, I love this fight. I I've coached Kai Kara-France on Tough 24. I think he's, you know, he hasn't fought in a while. He hasn't fought since the beginning of 2023. I want to say, you know, I'm sorry, middle. Oh no, he fought. Yeah, that's right. He fought Albazi on June 3rd of 23. I mean, it's been a minute. It's gone over a year since he's fought. I imagine he's probably more likely has been injured. But that being said, man, I got to give a lot of credit to Steve Ursek, dude. That dude could wrestle. That dude could strike. That dude could look for submissions. I mean, when I saw his fight against Pantoja, I was like, man, this dude's throwing elbows, catching Pantoja with flush elbows. Luckily, the champ has a heart of a freaking lion. And you know, he was able to, you know, he pretty much Ursek lost that fight based on his mistake. Going in for a takedown, then getting reversed, and then that was it. But if it wasn't for that, a lot of people actually thought he won. And Pantoja has fought a guy like Kai Kara-France by getting a pretty clean victory over him. But that being said, I think this is going to be a great fight. I would love for this fight to be a five rounder, but whatever it is, man, it's going to be a really tough and it's going to be a really good fight. I think the fight of the night, the most competitive fight out of all of these, it is at 125 pounds, and I got to go with. I'm sorry, Kai. I like you, man, but I can't bet my money on you. So I'm going Steve Ursig.
Yeah, you're right. That's it. That should be a fantastic fight. I would have loved to see this as a five rounder as well. But I think the reasoning behind that now is kind of, I don't think either of these guys are going to get the next shot at the title. And so I think winner of this fight ends up fighting, throw him Manel Kopp. I think winner of this fight fights Manel Kopp for the title, eliminator, because Manel Kopp now, obviously we saw the injury in that last fight, but he really didn't go out there and show what he needed to show that he was ready for a title shot. So right now, I don't think you give him that title shot. I think you make a guy like that fight someone like Manel Kopp, and then we'll see if they're ready for that title. But yeah, you've got, I mean, you look at that division, you've got some guys up there. You've got Albazi. You've got freaking Alex Perez. I mean, you've got some names in there, but I think a fight with a guy like Manel Kopp is going to be great for to test if either one of these guys are ready for that title shot again, which would be, you know, I think it would be fire. Think about it. And don't forget, Manel Kopp and Kai Kara-France, they've got real beef. And so I would love that, but we'll see, you know, how these guys perform. But moving on, We get to our main event, Henry. We've got Dricus du Plessis. I don't know why. I kind of ride with the name a little bit now, you know, because it kind of sounds, you know, got a little
EDP.
French. Got a little French in there or whatever that is. Dricus
no,
du Plessis.
But you remember DDP, Diamond Dallas Page?
Yeah.
That's what comes to mind for me.
Yep. Got Dricus du Plessis taking on Israel Adesanya. Former champion, lost the belt, got the belt back, lost the belt, and now he's looking to go out there and grab that belt back. And I believe I saw the stat, if Israel goes out there and performs and gets that belt back, then he will become the, I believe, third or the only third champion to ever, becomes the third man to ever get his belt back a third time in the same weight class, I believe. So that's, I mean, he's just added his name to illustrious company each and every time. This will, I believe, will be his 12th title fight in a row, which is impressive in itself. So, hey, I've told you, Henry, I think styles make fights, and I think this is a better style matchup for a guy like Israel Adesanya as opposed to somebody like Sean Strickland.
And oh, really?
100%.
Oh, really?
I told you that a while back. And okay.
Break it down, Kush.
This is why I think. Obviously, we've learned that there were some extraneous things that were taking place with Israel Adesanya in camp, with his body, with things that caused that performance, which, of course, we all understand. But that's part of the game. We all deal with that. Everybody deals with something. But I also think it was a style clash. A guy like Sean Strickland, who's standing right in front of you, he seems very, very hittable. But he's not necessarily hittable because he's standing straight up and you think you can just hit him. But he does this weird thing, this weird block when he throws his hands up, and it makes it almost impossible. You see that weird block? It makes it almost impossible for you to hit his head. And so with a guy like Israel Adesanya, Israel likes to move, and he does such a phenomenal job at moving, lining you up, whether it's faking you, whether it's putting a strike out there and kicking your leg, kicking your body. Israel does a phenomenal job with that. But with a guy like Sean Strickland that's standing straight up, that when you do try to kick his leg or you kick his body, he just lifts his leg up, and he makes it almost impossible for you to do. And he keeps coming with a lot of pressure. But there's difference. With a guy like Dricus du Plessis, who's going to try to change levels, trying to take you down, I think this is a little bit better style matchup for a guy like Israel Adesanya. So he can move laterally, he can set him up, he can land those low kicks, he can land body kicks, he can set him up for a head kick, he can strike with him. Hey, I think this is a better fight than Israel fighting a guy like Sean Strickland. Even though I believe that on any given day, Israel can beat Sean Strickland, and vice versa, as we saw with Sean Strickland beating Israel. So I like this fight. Call me biased if you want. Of course, I can't pick against Israel Adesanya. I'm 100%. I can't. It's like asking me to pick against Francis Ngannou. It's not happening. You know, I'm going Israel Adesanya.
I'm going to have to disrespectfully disagree, because Dricus du Plessis, he's too stylistically, like, the person that has to make an adjustment in this fight, it's not du Plessis, it's not DDP, you know who it is, it's Israel Adesanya. But I just feel like Israel Adesanya doesn't have those tools of defending somebody. Like, he's gonna get taken down. My biggest thing, could Israel get up? And there's one thing that I will say about DDP, about Dricus du Plessis, is the fact that he has ground and pound, bro, and he's taking people off. Like, the way he was able to take down Sean Strickland off the cage, the way he was able to take him down off the clinch, if you watch that clinch work that he did, those certain takedowns that he does, and you know what, his striking's a bit underrated. He was able to hurt a guy like Robert Whittaker off of a jab. jab. He would go southpaw and kick that lead leg. The dude is dangerous, and the dude is actually well-rounded. Yeah, is he the smoothest? Is he the sharpest? Is he a sniper? No, not necessarily, but he's a goer. And for now, a lot of champions like that have been proven. If you have a gas tank and you know how to put that pressure, then that's I do believe that that's a bit of Israel Adesanya's kryptonite, is when somebody just continues to press him. Sean Strickland showed that. Sean Strickland took away his biggest arsenal, which was his kick, because Israel Adesanya likes to kick to break your foundation, and also, you know, the straight punches that Strickland was doing. So if I am a guy like Dricus du Plessis, this is what I'm studying. This is what I do believe he is going to do. And I could just see a 5-round of Israel Adesanya being taken down against the cage. And to me, I'm going to bet the house on Dricus du Plessis.
You know, obviously...
I'm not done. And I want to do another challenge since you believe in your boy that much. I'm willing to do another egg on top of that dome of yours, because I want to see how that egg yolk slides down that nice slippery head of yours.
Pause. But there we go.
Hell no.
First and foremost, I want to break down right now. I want to break down a fight like this. I think stylistically, like I said, styles make fights. If you go back and you rewatch that Sean Strickland versus Dricus du Plessis fight, it wasn't as easy. It was a close contested fight. Sean Strickland had a lot of success in that fight. There were moments where Sean Strickland would stand at his ground and he was landing. He was having some real successes in that fight. But I think Sean Strickland, for maybe 5, 6 fights or 7 fights in a row, got into a groove of just walking everybody down with his hands at one spot and not necessarily throwing a variety of combinations. Sean Strickland will beat you up with the jab. He can beat you up with that jab because he's very good at his stance and just pumping that jab, and then eventually bringing that right hand straight. And you saw it. It even worked against the champion, like Israel Adesanya. When something like that works, why do you need to change? Why do we need to get into something else? And he did not make that adjustment in a fight with Dricus du Plessis, and it cost him. But styles make fights. Israel Adesanya is different. You saw him. Israel has been taken down multiple times, and Israel has shown you he can get back up to his feet. Israel is battle-tested. Israel has been through heavy hitters, and Israel has passed that test with flying colors. So I understand what you're saying, Henry. This, on paper, seems like, hey, yeah, this 100%. Dricus du Plessis is going to go in there. He's going to do his job. But I think a motivated and a healthy Israel Adesanya, which I don't necessarily know. I think a healthy and a motivated Israel Adesanya, I think he gets through Dricus du Plessis 100%. And for me, in this fight, I think as game plan wise, I think Israel is going to have to use that lateral movement, because when he's at his best, he's able to line you up and he's able to land his strike. He's able to line you up. He's able to show you that hip, let you react, or feint, create that action, then land the kick, or land his shots. As you saw, even with Alex Pereira, he was able to freeze him with the left jab, come over top with that right hand, and almost sat him down in that first round in their second fight. You know, it's Israel can find a way to get the finish, and in this fight, I think he's going to have to utilize that lateral movement and just put strikes on him. Variety of strikes. So with a guy like Israel Adesanya, I think his team and his corner has definitely let him know, hey, we can't fight like we fought the last fight when we're not getting that activity out. So I think he's definitely going to use that lateral movement, line up guy like Dricus du Plessis, and pick up those strikes, put a variety of strikes on him. So I think this fight, the significant strikes for a guy like Israel Adesanya, is going to have to improve than he did in his last fight.
Okay, so do we have a deal?
I don't know. You know, this week is,
you can't say all that.
This week is, what you mean? This week is not really a good time for me. You know, the bank called me yesterday and said that the way that my checking and my savings were set up, that I might not be able to get no eggs. So I don't know if this week so is talk, a good
so,
week
so
for me.
Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. It's starting to sound corporate. It's starting to sound corporate like DC.
I'm 100%. My pick, I'm going with Israel Adesanya till the wheels fall off.
Okay, so there we have it. There, mm-hmm. You guys heard it here. So there's an egg on the line.
I didn't say all that. I just told you the way the check-ins and the savings is set up. You know, I can't afford eggs this week, so maybe we'll save it for next week.
That's what I'm saying, but you guys listen to all you viewers.
We'll save it for next week.
He doesn't believe in Israel Adesanya.
Who told you that? That's my man, 50 grand. See, Henry, this is the difference between you and I, is you have to know when to play.
It's a friendly bet. It's a friendly pick.
I get you.
Goofy, cringy bet. But you don't want to crack that egg because you know DDP is going to get it done. That's it.
I don't believe so, Henry. I don't believe so. But I'll tell you where I'm going to go to play and make my picks. Underdog Fantasy Sports. The easiest place to play fantasy sports. As we saw last week, I don't know if we've had the results yet, but I did my thing last week, Henry. I think you might have went 0 for 4 or 0 for 3 or something like that. But, you know, nobody wants to bring up old stuff, so I'll let you slide on that. But we're tallying the results, and eventually we're going to let people know how we're doing with these underdog picks. All right, Henry, on this week's questions from a casual, we get asked this a lot. You know, we see this comment a lot, and it's basically, after a fight, what's that next 2 weeks like for us? Obviously, mental-wise, obviously, weight-wise, and things like that, because obviously we have to diet and we have to make weight for these fights. But for me, I think the most important thing is the mental aspect of it, because you have to understand that there's going to be a roller coaster. You're going to get up, especially if you win that fight. You're going to be as high as everything. You're going to be on cloud 10, and you get to feel that. But at some point, you're going to come down. So I think a big part of it is understanding that there's going to be highs, but there's also going to be a low where you might have a little bit of depression. You might have a little bit of that low aspect of it, whether you win or if you lose. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit more. It's going to be a little bit more intensified if you lost the fight to feel that low. But it comes highs and lows, and of course, your weight. You know, most people start to kind of get back to eating regularly, I would presume, as opposed to being on that diet food. For me personally, I've understood over time with my body that I can't put anything in it. I can't put anything harshly detrimental in there right away. Some people do. Some people don't care. Some people just eat any and everything. And for me, I just don't feel like that's the best way to live. And I think that makes it even harder for me once I get back into training. And so, Henry, for you, yourself, how do you feel? And how do you handle that next 2 weeks?
Shit, I'd probably get like Patty the Batty, to be real with you.
Really?
Yeah, well, maybe not as big as him, but that's too much, dude. But I do like to have fun, dude. I do like to, you know, indulge and splurge, but... Man, it's getting dangerous, man. He needs to be careful, dude, because then him going back down, as you get older in age, I don't know how old Patty is, but as you get older, man, in age, your body's just not going to react well, dude. Even when I was 26 years old, like, my metabolism changed. Like, I couldn't cut the weight that like how I used to. And these are things that he's going to have to realize if he does want to, become the best in the world. But, yeah, he's 29. He's 29 years young.
Yeah,
I mean, he's probably got a lot of freaking fat, and he probably sweats like a pig, dude. That's the only thing that I could think of that for him to make 155 pounds, dude.
Wow, bruh. Why are you just busting shots at everybody? First and foremost, I'm all for Patty. I'm all for him being happy. This is. I 100% agree with him. You have to enjoy this process. For most of us, it's not enjoyable, which is we put that pressure on our own selves because of the successes that we potentially want to have in the sport. For Patty, he enjoys being able to eat all these things. And I think I saw an interview not too long ago to where he mentioned something along the lines of now he's starting to be a little bit more aware of of what he's putting in his body, because he can't do this way forever, because he understands that this is not a recipe for success. So I think obviously it's been less than 2 weeks. It's been less than 2 weeks since his fight. So which is why you could obviously still see that he still has abs, but I think his face is holding all that excess salt and all that excess sodium and water. So it's kind of blowing him up in a way, but 198 is crazy. That's crazy work. 198 in less than two weeks. That's crazy work. I think that's.
He still has abs, bro.
Exactly.
So he still has abs. That's crazy.
So I'm wondering how much he's actually dehydrated himself to get down to that weight. But I'm up for him being happy, up for him eating certain things that makes him happy. But for the future, for the longevity of your career, Patty, you're going to have to kind of clean that up a little bit, because yo-yoing up like this, that's going to have detrimental effect even when you're done with fighting. So that would be my two cents for him. But I'm all for Patty being as happy as he wants to be in between, because you get one life to live. And if you can enjoy this process, because this is already hard enough, Henry. And you know that, Henry. You know this weight cutting process that we do is already hard enough. Hey, which is funny, Henry. I actually have a story about you. And and making weight. Oh my God, Henry, back in the day, first, most people don't realize we've been rocking for a minute. We fought on a couple of legacy cards together. Shout out to my man Mick Maynard, one of the best in the business. I believe the president of Legacy at that time when we fought for him. And one time, Henry, you just you couldn't make the weight. And I think I don't know whether it was just, you know, at that point. And I think you mentioned something later on along the lines of your discipline was cut, because it was easy for you to do. But once you got to the place after you took the loss to Mighty Mouse, obviously you flipped the switch and you turned things around and you became Triple C. But I think
100%.
Back in the day.
But it was that same reason what I was telling you.
Yeah. But let me tell the story. I just remember, because I realized once I got there that you were fighting on the same card. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. Henry's on this on this card. And then I just remember at the end of the weigh-ins, you know, you're peeking around the corner. I was like, who is that? Is that Henry Cejudo? And then I was like, yo, what's up, bro? You're like, hey, man, what's up, man? And I think you knew that, oh, man, I was going to miss this weight. I didn't have any more time to cut weight. I'm going to miss it. And it was hilarious to me later on when I realized the fact that you did miss weight. I was like, is that why he was hiding? It was funny to me. But, of course, you went in there and you did your thing when you got the fight. But yeah, it's you can't continue your yo-yo like this.
And I'm surprised Patty hasn't gone through that shit. I started feeling it, Kush, at 26 years old, dude. I couldn't do the same thing that I was doing before, man. That cost me big time. And that cost me to miss weight not only once, twice, but fucking three times, bro. You know? So I was on that Calvin Gastelum freaking diet, dude.
Aren't you still on that diet? You just said you like that. Hey, Calvin. Hey, he said it, not me, bruh. You know, Calvin, you know you my dog. You my man. So, hey, Triple C said it, not me. But, you know, guys, guys, make sure you're able to leave your comments if you have any questions for us. And, of course, as always, like and subscribe. And you saw that Triple C said, if you don't subscribe to the channel, and also go and subscribe to the newsletter as well. You know, every week we're dropping that thing. So make sure you subscribe to the newsletter, because we have a little, you know, the write-ups of everything that we kind of talk about that we go through during the week and some news that's happening there. But as always, guys, I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
And we are out.